We're going to be teaching on this for at least a couple more weeks because it is the key to your victory. I wouldn't dare try to teach you anything else until you get this. I wouldn't dare try to teach you evangelism, witnessing, reaching out to others. Because if you can't forgive, God can't use you in that area. I wouldn't dare try to teach you about giving and receiving and being blessed by God financially. Because you can tithe, give offerings, give all your goods to the poor, but if you have not love, you are nothing. I wouldn't dare teach you how to believe God to heal your body, or to answer your prayers, or any of the wonderful blessings of God that we find in the Bible until we learn this issue about forgiving. As a matter of fact, let me tell you, Victorious Word Christian Fellowship will not prosper. This church will not grow if we have strife in here. If we can't get along with one another, if we don't learn to forgive one another when we're done wrong, then we might as well shut the doors. Because we're not going to grow if we are at each other's throats, mad at each other for every little thing somebody says. It ain't going to happen. And I refuse to pastor a church where people are in strife, where people won't make an effort to grow. I won't do it. Because that just means that everything I'm trying to do will be fruitless. I love all of you too much to try to move you on to something else that I know won't work for you when you won't make the effort to love one another and to forgive one another when somebody might have done you wrong or you think they may have done you wrong or whatever have you. I love you enough to rebuke you too when I see it happening. Remember, I'm doing all of this out of a heart of love. Let me try to explain something to you before, and we'll go on and get into the word. Anybody who does what I'm doing, what Pastor Christic is doing, what Sister Ann is doing, and the other leaders, with Mary and Steve driving all the way from Massachusetts so they can be with y'all, making themselves available to you guys. Anybody who's doing all of this and suffering what we're suffering, you don't even know the extent of what we go through sometimes. Anybody who does this and not called of God is crazy. Anybody who does this and does it just for laughs, they nuts. I'm telling you, this is tough. Right now, as a small church, me being one of the very few van drivers, I have to pick up a lot of people. I have to pick up, sometimes I got to make 2 to 3, sometimes 4 trips. And then come lead praise and worship. Then come preach to y'all. So we need to get this word in us so that God can bless us more. God is not going to bless this church with a 15-passenger van until we learn to get our love walk straight.
Amen.
Amen. God's not going to bless this church with our own building until we learn to get our love walk straight. Until we learn to forgive one another. What God going to do? Put you in a van, 15-passenger van, so you can kill each other inside the van? What are you going to do? Put you in a new building so you can shed blood in a new building? No. God's not going to do that. God wants to bless us. I know that this ministry is called of God, or I wouldn't be here. I'm telling you, I would not be here. It's easier for me to just go to a large ministry and just sit back in the back and chill. Well, it ain't easy because, you know, they got that calling stirring up in you and everything. I tried it already. It didn't work. But praise God. God wants to bless all of you, but we first got to get our love walk straight. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I have to keep giving you this and giving you this until I see it working in your lives, or until God tells me to move on to something else. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. So take your Bibles, put them in your hands. Wait a minute. Just wave them in the devil's face. Say, Father God,
Father God,
I thank you
for your word.
Now stretch your hands towards your pastor and just begin to pray for me. Just pray for me. Hallelujah. Father God, I need you right now. I need your strength. I need your help. Lord, I thank you in Jesus' precious name. Father God, I glorify your name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Sorry, saints, I'm not trying to be hard. I really ain't. But I'm trying to help you understand the vital importance of this. Y'all know I'm not a hard preacher. Y'all know that I don't try to come down on you. As a matter of fact, I try to help you to enjoy the Word of God. But every once in a while, I have to say something to what I see going on around here. I wouldn't be a good pastor if I just closed my eyes to certain things. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You know, I usually let Pastor Christick be the hit man. You know, because he does it a little better than me. Because, you know, I like being nice and sweet. You know, y'all used to Pastor Christick beating up on you sometimes. But every once in a while, the senior pastor has to say a little bit too. Praise God. All right. Last week we began talking about the heart. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. We began talking about heart, the heart. And we began talking about how forgiveness has to begin in the heart. You see, forgiveness is warfare. Amen? The walk of love is warfare. The reason why it's warfare is because the devil does not want you to forgive. He does not want you to walk in love, because he knows that if you're walking in love, if you're forgiving people when they do you wrong, he knows that he can't get an advantage over you. You remember those scriptures we talked about and we showed you that when you are not forgiving people, that Satan is able to have an advantage in you?
Yep.
And over you? Matthew chapter 18, verse 35 basically points that out. Begin at verse 33. You know the background. We've read the scripture so many different times already. If you're here for the first time, I encourage you to read the whole chapter, at least beginning at verse 22, all the way down to verse 35. For those, or you can get the we got the CDs available. We don't have the last 2 weeks CDs yet, but we'll have them available for you if you're interested in hearing, going back over what we've talked about in the past. But beginning at verse 33, it says, "Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." Now you see that God will deliver you. He will allow the devil and demons to torment you in your life if you do not make up your mind to forgive your brother or your sister. This is what the word heart is talking about. We told you last week that the Greek word for that was cardia. Now, I don't proclaim to be a Greek expert. I can't. It's all Greek to me, just like it is to you. I just have all these dictionaries. Thank God that God has blessed me with several dictionaries and commentaries that can explain the Greek to me. And it says that the word cardia is talking about the thoughts or feelings, the mind. That's basically what the heart is. It's talking about the thoughts or the feelings. And that's where God is expecting you to forgive, is within your thoughts. That's where the whole battle is at, is in your thoughts. That's where Satan is attacking you at. See, it all starts with your mind. Every time you try to forget about what so-and-so did to you, the devil comes and he brings that thought. He says, "Marlon, do you remember how Kristen smacked you 3 years ago? And now he's calling you up and ask you to help him to fix up Operation Eye Care? Man, what you need to do is go down there and smack him 3 times. Pay him back for every time, every year that you've had to deal with this." See, that's what the devil does. He does things like that. See, it all starts with the thought. Now, it's up to, now, the thought, Marlon can't stop the thought from coming. He can't stop Satan from bringing the thought. But Marlon can decide what he does with the thought. Amen?
Amen.
Now, he can sit there and have fellowship with the devil and say, "Yeah, you're right. He slapped me." Now, you know, it could have been said they was at some they was at a party somewhere, and you know, Pastor Christick was about to talk to somebody, and he went pow back, you know, accidentally or something like that. And he didn't mean anything. But you know, the devil will twist that thing. And Marlon will sit up there and say, now this is a pretend story, okay? This did not happen. I'm using this as an illustration. At least I don't, did this actually happen? Okay. I mean, but the devil could twist that thing and remind him of that, and he never apologized to me. You know, why should I help him? As a matter of fact, I owe him a couple of good ones. See, he can decide that, he can twirl that around in his mind, he can go to bed with that thing, thinking about it, just and it starts fuming, and then one day he sees Pastor Christick, and it all comes out. Kapow! See, that's because he meditated on that thing. Now, on the other hand, he could say, no, devil, he's my friend. I don't know the real reason why behind that, but it could have been an accident. And I love him, I forgive him in Jesus' name, and tomorrow I will be down there, and just because you said that to me, I'm going to work 3 days this week. So we want to see you the next 3 days. All right. See, you can decide what you do with the thought. Now, we looked in Mark chapter 2, and we saw that in the thoughts, that's where the deliberation process or the reasoning processes are. Turn with me to Mark chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. We're going over these scriptures again real quick so I can give you a few more. Mark chapter 2. Is everybody all right?
Amen.
Again, you know, I don't enjoy being harsh. I really don't. I like to have fun. But like I said, every once in a while we have to speak to certain things. All right, Mark chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. This is where Jesus is ready to heal somebody, and he's got these Pharisees, these educated people, sitting there trying to find something to trap him. And verse 6 goes on to say, but there were certain of the scribes sitting there reasoning in their hearts. Say reasoning.
Reasoning.
They were reasoning in their hearts. Everybody knows what reasoning is, right? You know what it means to reason. It's to think about, to talk about, to go over. Well, that comes from another Greek word. I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. But the definition of that means to reckon thoroughly, that is, to deliberate by reflection or discussion. Cast in mind, consider, dispute, muse, think. In other words, they were thinking, they were reasoning, they were going over this thing in their hearts. But there were certain of the scribes and Pharisees reasoning in their hearts. And then they said, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? See, the heart is where the reasoning processes, the thinking processes, the deliberation begins. And see, if you haven't forgiven somebody, it's because you are still reasoning that thing in your heart. You are still going over and over again. You are continually revisiting in your heart what that person did to you. And you know, over the years, sometimes we exaggerate things and make them worse than they actually were when they first happened. You know that? How many of y'all have done that before?
Amen.
Why? Yeah. I made things worse than they were before. That's nothing but the devil. See, the devil knows that if he got your mind, then he's got you. That's why we went over last week, Proverbs chapter 4. We won't go there. But Proverbs chapter 4 talks about putting a guard over your heart. You make the decision whether you will guard your heart or you will allow Satan to have free access to your heart. and when he has free access, he enjoys bringing up what somebody did to you 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 2 months ago, 1 week ago. Because he knows that if he can get you to continually think about what somebody did to you, then you won't be able to forgive that person. That's why Jesus says, if you're going to forgive, you've got to forgive them from the heart, from the center of your being, from your thought processes, from your feelings, from your emotions. You get control your emotions. Now, when I say feelings, it's not to say that you won't ever hurt anymore when you make the decision. Oh, what people do to us, it hurts. Mm-hmm. But see, God can supernaturally heal you emotionally. But he won't do it until you make up your mind to do what he says. You have to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Mm-hmm. Let's turn to, now I'm finally giving you a new scripture. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Last week I was editing a book that I wrote about 11 years ago that I haven't written. I think I published a few copies of it back in 1997, and I kind of was ashamed of the book and decided I didn't want to send it out to nobody no more. I sent it out to a couple people last year, and they had no comment on it. You know, it was some people that had read some of my books before, and they were like, yeah, you got more books. And I said, well, I got a couple, but some of them I really would. Oh, let me just, man, I like your teachers. Let me read that book. I sent the book out to them, ain't heard from them since. Usually they'll send me back with some comments on the thing. But I was editing this book, trying to get rid of the foolishness that I put in there, and trying to, you know, the concept that I had written was a good concept. But I just, at the time, putting out of context scriptures and, you know, making statements and stuff that just weren't biblical. You know, we grow in years, amen?
Amen.
God gives us revelation. He gives us insight. So thank God I did not preach that insight or leave a permanent mark with that insight. Amen. But as I was going through the book, one of the chapters, I discovered the scripture, and I said, wow, I had forgotten all about this one. And it's in Romans chapter 12. And we have been talking about how Satan is constantly attacking us through unforgiveness. That's one of his weapons. Well, we can overcome the enemy, conquer the enemy by doing good. Amen? And the good that the Bible talks about doing is forgiving. Have you reached Romans 12 yet? Let me get there then. So I'm so busy talking, I don't even get to the scripture. All right. Romans chapter 12, begin at verse 19, it says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good.
Amen.
See, this scripture is telling you that if you do not forgive, if you go looking for vengeance, you go trying to pay somebody back for what they did to you, then you are being overcome with evil. You are, in other words, Satan is doing a job on you, and you don't even know it. You don't even realize what the devil's doing to you. Now, I like the way the New Living Translation puts it. Let me read it to you from the New Living Translation. It says, dear friends, never avenge yourselves. Leave that to God. For it is written, I will take vengeance. I will repay those who deserve it, says the Lord. Instead, do what the scriptures say. Say that with me. Say, do what the scriptures say.
Do what the scriptures say.
You have to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Do what the scriptures say. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. And they will be ashamed of what they have done to you. And then I like this last part. Don't let evil get the best of you. But conquer evil by doing good. That word conquer or overcome means to prevail, to get the victory. If you want to get the victory, the best way to get the victory is to forgive. Say that with me. Say the best way, to have victory, is forgive. Amen. That's why we've titled this series, Forgive, the Key to Victorious Living. You can't have victory apart from forgiving. You go out trying to pay somebody back for what they did to you, then you are being overcome with evil. It is better to feed your enemy. It's better to give them something to drink. It's better to do that and let God deal with the unrepentant heart of the person. Now, me personally, I can say this with all sincerity and all honesty. I would rather hear the testimony of anybody who's ever done me wrong. I would rather hear today that they gave their life to Christ. I would rather somebody call me and say, hey, man, you know how foolish we were and all the things I did wrong to you, man. I want you to know I've given my life to the Lord now, and I want to apologize to you for what I did to you. That would bless me more better than to hear, oh, so-and-so got into a car accident and he died. That doesn't make me happy. I guess now, having been in Christ as long as I have, my heart is so tender now, I don't want to hear bad news concerning anybody, even if they've done me wrong. I would rather hear that they've come to know Christ, they've repented of their sins, and they turned their life around, and now they're doing great things, and I can say, hallelujah, it's because I forgave them, and I released them, that now they know the Lord.
Amen.
So we need to learn to have the love, the kind of love that God has, the kind of forgiveness that Christ has. Look at it. We did God all wrong. We sinned against him, yet he loved us anyway.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Turn with me to Revelation chapter 12. I know I got you turning quite a bit today, but I want you to see some things in the Word. The only way you will be able to walk in practical forgiveness is, number one, learn to deal with the thoughts that come into your mind. And then number two, and we probably get into this later on, it can only be done by the power of the Holy Spirit. My wife continues to remind me that I got to talk to y'all about that part too. It's only by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't do it apart from, the battle is first of all with your mind, but you still need the Holy Spirit's help. You won't be able to do it in your own strength, in your own power. You got to ask God to strengthen you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you at Revelation 12 yet? Now wait for me to get there. What page is Revelation 12 on? Just kidding. All right. Trying to make y'all laugh a little bit today. Y'all look, now after the earlier rebuke, y'all look so solemn, and usually y'all be cracking up. Oh, that's okay. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 through 11, it says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. The devil and Satan are the same person, which deceiveth the world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength, glory to God, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser, say accuser.
Accuser.
Say accuser.
Accuser.
Say accuser.
Accuser.
I want you to see that this is one of the titles of the devil. He is a what?
Accuser.
He is the accuser. Oh, glory to God. Class, y'all paying attention. Woo. He is the accuser. What does an accuser do?
He accuses
people. This is what the devil is. So when he, you know, if somebody, if you get thoughts in your mind of somebody and they're not good, who do you think the source is? Do you see how so-and-so was looking at you in church last week? Now, how do you know so-and-so was looking at you that way in church? That is how the devil does. He accuses. He is an accuser, and he works through the mind. So-and-so might have been looking over at somebody else, and you just happen to be in their way. And they might have x-ray vision. I'm just kidding, but sometimes we misinterpret people's intentions and stuff like that. And that's because the accuser takes in, he's a crafty thing. He takes any situation and twists it and tries to get you to hate somebody else, to be able to say, I can't stand so-and-so. But he is a slanderer and an accuser. That's what the word devil means. It means slanderer, accuser, one who brings a false, say false.
False.
He brings a false accusation. See, God, see, the way devil works, he does it three ways. He accuses God, he accuses man to God. In other words, he's going before the throne, saying, you see what he did? See what he did? You call that, you say that's your child. Look at what he did. Now you read the book of Job, you see how he works. Oh, well, I bet you. I tell you what, yeah, the reason why he's loving you is because you got him surrounded with all these angels and you blessed him with all these goods. Take all that away from him and see what happens. That might be why some of y'all going through some of what you're going through right now. You're being tested to see if you really love the Lord. But he does that. So don't give him a place. Don't give him any place to talk to God and say, see, I told you. If you took that car away from her, she would have slandered you. She would curse your name. She would become depressed. He wouldn't even go to church no more. He could have took the bus. He could have called pastor. But he didn't, see? That's why I told you when I took that car away, he would do that to you. He does that. Don't give him any excuse to do that. But not only does he accuse God to man, accuses man to God, but he accuses God to man. See, God doesn't love you. That's what he did to Job's wife. He told Job, curse God and tell him to curse God and die. Mm-hmm. He does that. Not only that, but he accuses man to man. He is an accuser of the brethren. That's one of his greatest weapons, deception and accusation. He likes to get strife stirring up. If he can get strife stirring up, he can get division stirring up, then he's destroyed a local church. And that's why I'm not going to put up with it. I'm not going to let it happen. And when I say that, I'm not saying that to be try to play like I'm super tough, because I'm not. I'm a kitty cat. I'm a teddy bear. I love people. I'd rather be kind and sweet, but I'm saying I'm just not going to let the devil just come in and do what he wants. Amen? Amen. And if you're being used by the devil, then you're just getting in the way of me punching him. What if I had to deal with you? But see, the thing is that we can't let the devil have his way. And if y'all believe in this ministry, then help us. Help the leaders. Amen? Help us. Don't let anybody slander any of the leaders here at this church. Don't let anybody talk bad about this church. If somebody starts gossiping to you about me as your pastor or Pastor Christick or any of the other leaders, you need to rebuke them. And then you need to call us and tell us what's being said. Don't sit there and listen to that foolishness. Because what they might be saying might be a different story if you talk to one of us. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Now, that doesn't mean we're perfect. I can't speak for any other leaders, but I know I'm far from it. Every day when I wake up, I find out how imperfect I am and how much more I need to strive for perfection. But I can say this with all sincerity. I'm trying my best. I'm doing the best I can to serve the Lord and to love you and to serve you as best as I can. I sit up there and I pray for many of y'all almost on a daily basis. I get up early in the morning, lifting many of your names up before the Lord. Those who I can remember, those I can remember most of your faces, I'll just say, Lord, you know who I'm talking about. But I really love you. I don't always call everybody, and I know I need to call some of you more often. But I do love all of you. So don't let the devil slander me or Pastor Christic or my wife or Sister Elise or any of the other leaders here. Amen. Amen. If things don't seem to be going right, talk to us directly. We might have an explanation for it. We're not going to tell you everything. But that's why I want you to understand how the accuser works. He will slander people to people. And that's what he does, and that's how he keeps you in unforgiveness, by continually bringing thoughts to your mind and slandering the person that you might be having some discord with. See, unity in the church. If you read Genesis chapter 11, verse 1, God made this statement. Yahweh himself made the statement. He said, the people are one, and there is nothing that can be withheld from them. Let me tell you, when Victoria's Word Christian Fellowship is one in the Lord, when we are speaking the same mind, when we have the same thing, the same goals, we will make a difference. We will make an impact in this community. Amen? Amen. Right? If we're going to be fussing with each other and talking about one another and stuff like that, then God can't use us. I don't want this to be a little country club, a little social club. I appreciate all y'all being here. I tell you, it's good to be able to preach to people. You know, it's good to be able to have a nice crowd like this to preach to. I thank God for y'all being here, but I don't want it to be just like this. I want to reach those lost people out there. This is my heart. This is the heartbeat of this church. This is why we have a missions pastor. This is why the Lord joined me and this man of God here together. We both found out we had a heartbeat for missions. We both had a heartbeat for evangelism. And God, the rest is history. Mm-hmm. Now we want to make a difference in all of the community. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
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 But we can't do it unless we have made a difference with one another in walking in love and forgiving each other. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want to show you. You can beat the unforgiveness bug. You can win in this area. I'm sorry, did I say 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians? I'm sorry, turn to 2 Corinthians. I get the Corinthians mixed up. Both those letters.
Chapter 10.
2 Corinthians chapter 10. Sometimes I'm thinking 1 Timothy and I'll say 2 Timothy, or 1 Chronicles and I'll say 2 Chronicles. I always do that. Y'all pray for me. This year I'll be 45 years old. Yes, I know I look only 25, but you know, you don't have to tell me. I'll just say it to myself. Okay, go ahead and tell me. No, I'm just kidding. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Begin at verse 3. Let me read this to you from the analytical literal translation. The analytical literal translation. I don't know who wrote it, but that just sounds like some scholar just took the Greek and just translated it correctly, I guess. But it says the analytical literal translation. I just like the way it comes out in this one. It says, "For though walking about, conducting ourselves in the flesh, we do not wage war, struggle against evil forces according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but powerful in God for the tearing down of strongholds or fortresses. Tearing down misleading arguments in every high place, arrogance, lifting itself up against the knowledge of God. And bringing every thought," say every thought,
"every thought,
bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." What the Apostle Paul is telling you here is that you have control over your thoughts. You have control over your thoughts. You can decide to either take the thoughts that come to you, those wrong thoughts, those evil thoughts, and you can hold them captive, or you can decide to just dwell on the thought, have fellowship with the devil, say, "Yep, Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah, she sure did do me wrong. Mm-hmm. I'll divorce her behind. As a matter of fact, I will. Matter of fact, there's been a nice, cute girl who at work who's been looking at me. And she always coming over there trying to flirt with me. You know, I think I'm going to just start talking to her. I'm going to start, maybe me and her go out to lunch. You know, just an innocent thing. But you know, that woman, she done me wrong so many times. I'm about fed up with her. You know, you can dwell on that, or when the devil comes and says, you see that cute little girl at work, she's been looking at you. Then you can say, well, so what? I got something at home that I like better. Mm-hmm. I'm talking to you husbands, or you soon to be husbands. I don't know if the women had that problem, but you can deal with the thoughts. When the devil tries to get you to stay in unforgiveness towards somebody, you can either decide to hold that thing captive and destroy it with the weapons that God has given you. And the weapon God has given you is the Word of God. Amen. Every time Satan came to Jesus with the thought when he was in the wilderness, I'm a personal believer. When you look at Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, where Jesus is in the wilderness being tempted by the devil, I'm a personal believer that the devil did not just come to Jesus in some great form exposing himself. I believe that the devil attacked Jesus just like he attacks me and you today. He planted thoughts in his mind. He said, if ye be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. That was a thought. Words create thoughts. And that's what happens when somebody says something wrong to you. It creates a thought. And your thoughts can bring about an emotional reaction if you let it. You've got to learn to control your thoughts and control your emotions. You can deliberate that thing in your mind, in your heart, or you can do what Jesus says and forgive the person from your heart. It's a simple matter of doing what the Word of God says. If you couldn't do it, then the Bible wouldn't tell you to do it. God is not unfair. Amen?
Amen.
When God is fair. He never tells you to do something that you can't do. Now you think about this. You say, well, how can I forgive and forget about what a person did to me? Look at this. The devil, we saw in Revelation chapter 12 that the devil comes to God and accuses the brethren before God day and night. Before Michael and his angels throw Satan out of heaven for good, he is right now up there accusing you and I before God every night. Well, God has to deal with that too. Because Satan is throwing in his face everything that you and I have ever done. And he's saying, nope, I've forgotten that. Nope, I don't receive that. Nope, that's under the blood of Jesus. Nope. You have to do the same thing that God does. You're not above your master. If God has to put down the accusations of the devil, then you must do the exact same thing. You can forgive and you can forget by taking control of your thoughts. Amen?
Amen.
So learn to control the thought life. Let's look at one more scripture. Are you getting anything out of this?
Yes.
Are you going to forgive?
Yes.
All right. As soon as you make up your mind to do this, the sooner we can move on to something different. I know some of y'all saying, I'm tired of hearing this. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to look up people who I don't even know they did me wrong or not and just find out and forgive them. Just don't preach on that no more. Amen. Let's look at Acts chapter 5. Praise God. But that's good, right? Y'all getting tired of hearing it. You'll start doing it so we can move on to something else. Praise the Lord. I remember, I don't know if I told you this story. If you didn't, pretend like you ain't heard it. There's new people here anyway, so they ain't heard it yet. But I remember I was at a church some years ago. As a matter of fact, it was my first church where my first pastor and spiritual father, Pastor Ted Johnson. I love that man. He's with the Lord now. He was the man who really got me into the Word of God and got me to really fall in love with the Bible with some help from another brother. But Pastor Ted Johnson was a great man of God. One day, he had been teaching on faith. And I mean, he had been teaching from Mark chapter 11, verse 22 through 24 for months. For at least it seemed like to us it was months. And you know, one day, he's preaching. And then he gets up to preach. And he gives us this new title, Doubt, the Thief of Faith. And we're like, finally, something new. And he says, turn to Mark chapter 11, verse 22. And we, all of us are like, oh, God. You know, of course, we didn't dare say that out loud, but you can see the faces. They're like, again? You know, he gets up, he looks at us, he says, let me tell y'all something. He said, if you would get this, then we could move on to something else. He was hired a teacher too. He wanted to move on to something else, but you got to obey God if you're the pastor. Amen. Yeah. Amen. And I have to obey God. All right. Acts chapter 5. We're almost done. Let me read this to you from the God's Word translation. It says, a man named Ananias, this is beginning at verse 1 all the way through 5. A man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira sold some property. They agreed to hold back some of the money they had pledged and turn only part of it over to the apostles. Peter asked, Ananias, why did you let Satan fill you with the idea that you could deceive the Holy Spirit? You can let Satan. It's up to you whether you allow Satan to give you ideas or not, or fill you with those ideas. He will fill you with ideas if you let him. He will give those ideas to you. It's up to you whether you're going to think about that thing or whether you're going to say, no, I refuse it in Jesus' name. Let me read this. Let me finish reading. It says, you've held back some of the money you received for the land. While you had the land, it was your own. After it was sold, you could have done as you pleased with the money. So how could you do a thing like this? You didn't lie to people, but to God. When Ananias heard Peter say this, he dropped dead. Everyone who heard about his death, wake that young lady up, please. Everybody who heard about his death was terrified. Now, let me read this to you from the New Century Version. The first couple of verses. Peter said, Ananias, why did you let Satan rule your thoughts to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep for yourself part of the money you received for the land? Why did you let Satan rule your thoughts? You can let Satan rule your thoughts. Amen? You are the deciding factor as to whether Satan will rule your thoughts or not. You can decide whether Satan will have control of your mind or not. If you want to forgive, one of the number one things you've got to do is know how to engage in spiritual warfare, know how to deal with the war of words that come into your mind, the ideas that are thrown into your mind, and when the devil comes to you with thoughts about what people did to you, you've got to learn to say, no, I don't receive that. I take that thought captive, and I cast it out of my mind in the name of Jesus. Then you declare with a loud voice if you have to, no, I forgive so-and-so. I don't care what you say, devil. I have forgiven that person. I have forgotten that thing. I hold nothing against them. And just because you made me mad, I'm sending them a birthday card. Or a Christmas card. And it may not even be Christmas. I'm going to send him an early one. I'm going to send him a present. That's because you made me mad, devil. If there's anybody I hate, it's you. And not that person. Mm. You was the one who inspired that person to do what they did to me in the first place. So I don't receive your thoughts. I'm going to give them something to drink. I'm going to feed them. I'm going to bless them. And then you begin to pray for them. Begin, Father God, I bless them in the name of Jesus. Begin to pray for that person. Isn't that what Jesus did for you? Mm-hmm. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus knew that Satan was behind what they were doing. We'll expound more on that later. But it's your thoughts. You got to deal with the thoughts. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Stand to your feet. I'm going to ask Pastor Christick to come now.